This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan on a shout out Friday. You want to get a shout out out there? 877-881-1053. Now, my question to start things off is the Cowboys obviously need more explosive plays. So I got a chart for you that kind of walks us through all of that. How do you think they can get to that point?
I love this question. First of all, I would like to congratulate myself.
You did great, Mike.
I felt like I was going to get berated if we didn't start this show at 10 o'clock, and we did.
Nice!
So I got us out of my crosstalk in time. Second of all, great question, and I'm going to answer it in a Mike Bassick way, which sometimes isn't the best. I don't want to try to get explosive plays because I think in the air, explosive plays can accidentally turn into turnovers, sacks for fumbles, bad decisions by your quarterback. So explosive plays for me would be hoping that you'd throw a hell of a screen pass that maybe they weren't expecting to CeeDee Lamb or to Tony Pollard. I feel like those are the two guys that can catch the ball and go a long way with it with space. So in a way, I get what you're saying, but I think the 2022 Dallas Cowboys, as unfun as it is, should try to win games 10-9. And I know that really 20 is the major number. The Cowboys cannot allow over 20 points or they're going to lose most of the games this year. And when you play the game that way, you have to slow the game down. You have to give yourself, unfortunately, not as many possessions as you'd like if you're an explosive offense. If you're a big play offense, Kansas City wants the ball as many times as possible because they feel like the more times Patrick Mahomes has the ball, the better chance we have of winning. That's not our formula.
Yeah.
The formula is, to me, is hold that team under 20, figure out a way to get to 20. We'd love if we only have to get to 17.
Well, I think there's a lot in what you just said and what I'm going to go to.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, you got to know what you're good at. And I don't think this Cowboys team knows what they're good at right now. Think about this for a second. The Browns probably have their probably most explosive plays are in the running game, I'm betting. Do you have a nifty chart or anything, Kevin, that shows?
I do have a nifty chart. The Browns, interestingly enough, are tied for second in the league overall, even though they're in the bottom five in pass big plays, because they are by far the leader in rushing big plays.
And I think Davante Adams is a very talented receiver, and you want to use that receiver for explosive plays in the passing game. And Davante Adams, Darren Waller, where do the Raiders rank on the passing plays?
The Raiders are pretty high. I think they are tied for second.
And then but their running game stinks.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're in the middle of the pack. But like, at least you can say, all right, Cleveland, you're good at this, and you're pretty high. Las Vegas, you're really good at this, so you're at least a slightly above average. Here's a problem for the Cowboys. They're 27th in explosive rushing plays. And for the purposes of this chart, and shout out to Marcus Mosher for tweeting this chart out to begin with, is rushing 10 or more yards, explosive play. Passing 20 or more yards, explosive play. All right. Cowboys are 27th in rushing explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you might be thinking, okay, maybe we can do kind of the Las Vegas Raiders kind of deal. Well, they're 26th in passing explosive plays, which brings them to 29th in the league in explosive plays.
Okay. That's bad.
That is very bad.
Yeah. And especially, you know, I did a study a while back, Mike, that showed that whenever the Cowboys got 10 plus yards, was it 10 or 12 plus yards? I believe it was 12 plus yards on any given play. They were in any given drive, they were more likely to score 7 points if they got 12 or more yards on any play in that drive.
Okay.
That because it just changes the way the defense goes, oh, crap, we can't let them do that again. So now they make that adjustment, and then all of a sudden, bam, there you are, maybe even getting more explosive plays in that specific moment. I bet there's a good balance with Kansas City, probably a good balance with Buffalo, because they can do both things well. The Cowboys don't know what they can and cannot do well right now.
Right.
And that's where, Kevin, I think how are we going to get these explosive plays? I think Mike's right. There are ways that you can use play action to your benefit. And you saw a play last night where Amari Cooper is wide open down the field because they emptied out the other side of the field and he ran to it. So there are plenty of options and opportunities and plays drawn up for that. It's just whether or not the defense believes the Cowboys are willing to do some of the things that they're showing, or whether they're showing anything different or not. So that's another thing, Kevin. Last week, I believe that Cooper Rush didn't check out of many plays. Dak Prescott will check out of a lot of plays, and I feel like a lot of teams are like, we know what he's checking into. We know what he sees, and we know what he's trying to check into at this point. I do wonder how often Cooper Rush just walking out there, running whatever play Kellen Moore called, changes the defense going, oh crap, we didn't realize we showed this, we thought they were going to do this and they didn't.
It's interesting to see the, I guess, cause and effect. It's probably because it's only 2 weeks. Like when we get further in the season, I think there'll be a greater cause and effect of, if you're not good at explosive plays, you're probably not great, but if you are good at explosive plays, you're probably really good. So the cause and effect through 2 weeks, leading the league in explosive plays is the Detroit Lions,
dude. Yes.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
I hear you. But, like, would you concede maybe not thought of as the elite of the elite?
I like to keep track of this throughout the entire season because they're two for opponents. Sure. Like, the Philadelphia gave up a ton of big plays in that game specifically and then doesn't the next week.
Right.
And then Washington, it was Washington because that's where you got your money. Washington gave up a bunch of big plays and they were both in the passing game and running. Dude, just think about what Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are doing in the run game for them. It helps Jared Goff out so much.
So you might not think of Detroit, but the next two, the Packers and Eagles. Like, I feel like most people would be like, oh yeah, I think they're pretty good in the NFC.
Yeah.
But then look at the bottom of the chart. Seattle, Carolina. Okay, I feel like people across the board are like, I'm not really expecting those teams to be very good. Wedged in between them,
Baker's
the Rams.
Going back to OU.
I don't know if that is going to work. But between Carolina and Seattle is the Rams. So, like, a team that you would expect would be better. So, early in the season, it throws the charts off a little bit. Also, the Chargers are near the bottom in overall explosive plays, which that is surprising to me. So do you think as the year goes along, this will balance out in terms of not all, but a lot of the teams at the top of the explosive play charts will be the better teams in the NFL and vice versa?
I do believe that. I really do, because that changes. It changes the game. It changes any given scoring drive. Now, I think the other part of that, though, Kevin, is can your defense stop the opponent from having those big plays too? Like, if your defense can do that and you can have these big plays, you're a contender. That's what the best teams over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 years now, they have the balance that's good enough to say we can get a couple of different stops and our offense is going to take care of it. This year, the Cowboys have had to take a different approach. They did it whenever they got rid of Amari. Like, they really did. They said, okay, we're changing our offense to, we believe the younger player, CeeDee Lamb, is going to grow into a number one receiver. We got to give him the opportunity. We're going to go make this push. And you know what? We're going to reinvest in our offensive line, but it's going to take time. We need our defense to step up and take care of the games for us.
Obviously, we got Jerry coming up at 10:30. We can feel free to ask him about this. But did you see Zeke actually doing damage control yesterday after what Jerry said about the possibility of a quarterback controversy? Zeke actually came out and, like, admitted what we all know. And what I feel like Jerry's actually told us is, Zeke said, quote, Jerry wants you clicking and listening to all of it, marketing. And then he also added that the media says outrageous things for clicks as well. So it's not really that big of a deal.
What is the media? When have we ever said anything outrageous?
I mean, first of all, I think he's definitely right about the media saying outrageous things for clicks. But he just flat out, when you're like, oh, could there be a quarterback controversy? Zeke swooped in and was like, look, he just says things to, like, market and keep you guys interested and everything like that. I hope the follow-up question was, wouldn't it be easier to market the team if they won?
Let me ask you this, though.
Too hard.
Is he wrong?
No.
No, is Jerry wrong in the idea that how cool would it be? Because isn't that what he said essentially was,
yes,
how cool would it be if we had a quarterback controversy whenever Dak's ready to come back?
I don't think this is going to happen.
Because that means he would have been winning.
Yes, I don't think this is going to happen at all. But if the Cowboys, let's just say it's 6 weeks. If the Cowboys were 0-1 when Dak got hurt, and then they're 6-1 when he's ready to come back, I will listen to arguments about. Now, clearly it depends like on some of the final scores, because if it's like Mike said, and it was 10-9 every week, then I'm like, oh my God, get Cooper Rush out of here. But if they're 6-1 and the defense is still awesome, but the offense is like, hey, not too bad, I'll listen to that.
I'm with you. I don't think that's going to happen.
Neither do I.
I will say the next two games, though, if Cooper Rush wins, I know we got to get out of here, but if Cooper Rush wins the next two games, I do think it starts watering down the 41 points per game that Dak puts up last year against our conference. Against our division.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, hey, it looks like anybody can beat Washington and New York.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan on a shout-out Friday from the 903. Shout-out to their baby girl, Napoli, turned 5 yesterday. We'll keep doing shout-outs all day long. Also got that Rangers ticket giveaway in the noon, and Jerry coming up at 10:30. But next, Cowboys-Giants isn't till Monday. So what NFL game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Plus, betting with Bassick early. We'll do it all next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Cowboys aren't till Monday, so which NFL game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Also, we're doing some shout-outs. Shout-out, just dropped the wife and kid off at the airport to go to Disney, taking off work and playing golf 3 of the next 4 days.
Nice.
And another shout-out right here. I'd like to shout-out, they said, their dad, Brandon, for his promotion at work. Love your favorite son, Malcolm. I always like when you get parents to rank their children. Now, what game are you looking forward to most this weekend? But we also got to do some betting with Bassick, and I believe we're up first.
All right, let's go. What are we doing here?
Corey, who do you want?
All right.
How are you looking?
Mike, how are we looking here?
We're even, Steven. We both have 2 wins, 2 losses.
All right. I like this one. I think I might go with this one. Kevin did it last week. I'm going to go with this team maybe for the rest of the year.
Oh.
I will take the Lions +6 against Minnesota.
Okay.
That gives me 6 points.
All right, that game's in Minnesota, and it's a noon game. I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Because Kirk Cousins.
If it was 7:20, he would just go ahead and write down that you won the bet. So, I can see that.
You know, you can wear white pants this week, Vikings, as your quarterback won't crap all in them because they're on national television.
I would not say by any means that this is the game I'm most looking forward to or anything like that, but I do like the value here. I would like to take the Las Vegas Raiders -2 against the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
That game is like oddly relevant in that maybe you just think both of those teams are done anyway, but whoever loses that game, they really feel like they're done.
I think both teams we came in thinking those are borderline playoff teams, not Super Bowl contenders, but playoff contenders. All right, I like what you guys did there because you left out my 2 favorite teams.
Cowboys.
The Jags.
And I'm going to put them on you this time, Corey, because you stole them from me last week.
You had already used your bet. I picked up what was left over.
This game is in Los Angeles. The Chargers will have at least 1,000 fans there rooting for them. Ouch. I'm going to go with the Jaguars +7.
All right.
Maybe they get a W.
So I get Chargers -7.
Yeah.
All right. Your face, Kevin.
I mean, I'm surprised he picked that. I know he likes the Chargers, too.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm really strongly considering taking the Cowboys +1.
Yeah, do it, Mike.
Because I think the Cowboys are going to win. That game has gone from 4-1. There's a lot of money.
Cooper Rush
coming in
fever
on the Dallas Cowboys. That's a lot.
Probably that, too.
To move that number 3 points in a week is a lot. But Vegas, why does Vegas always seem to win? When the public always thinks, Cowboys are going to. I guarantee you today, every person that does a radio show here is picking the Cowboys to win that game. I don't think there is a person that's going to pick the Giants to win that game. And that scares me away from that game. So I'm going with my other favorite team.
Oh.
Let me take those Kansas City Chiefs -5.5 at the Indianapolis Colts. So
yeah, the Colts don't look that great, do they?
So that's where I'm going to go. So I'm going to give you Indy
+5.5
at home. Those are things that Gavin Dawson likes. I want to pick the Cowboys. And if it was still at 2.5, I didn't know it had gone down to 1 until I looked today. If it was 2.5, I would pick the Cowboys just because I do like having, at least if the Cowboys were to lose in a 2-point game, you still win the bet. But now that it's pretty much a pick 'em, and I am picking the Cowboys to win this game 17-13, I am just scared to bet that game because of Vegas seems to always fool us into thinking something's an easy win.
So to go along with all this, the game you're most looking forward to, this might be the game that are least looking forward to for the 817. Raiders and Titans might be a tie. They're both incapable of winning. From the 6-8-2, Jacksonville and the Chargers, it'll be good to see if Jacksonville is as good as they've looked. And then somebody from the 817 said they're flying out to go to the Tampa Green Bay game. So that is definitely the game they're most looking forward
to. That's something I really want to do now is I want to pick a couple games in the season where I go travel to another stadium and watch a big time game or watch a game like not necessarily
the Cowboys.
Do you have
a stadium in mind or would it be more the game?
Not yet, but probably the game first. But I guess I want to kind of visit a bunch of stadiums. You
I feel
know,
like college football though is more fun for environment party, than the, NFL. Yeah. Like NFL football is a
stadiums.
Much better product to me,
but it's very corporate.
Yeah, so I think college football with the tailgating and just the whole atmosphere is just 1,000 times better than going to an NFL game.
The Buffalo tailgating is an experience in and of itself.
Would
right?
you go through a table?
Heck no.
By the way, for me, it's Rams at Cardinals. Is my game of the week.
Okay, that's fascinating because mine is Bills Dolphins. I'm really excited to see, like, are the Dolphins the, you know, not the fourth quarter version of the Dolphins because that's probably impossibly sustainable, but how good are they? Because the Bills have looked like a freaking juggernaut and they're on the road.
I guess I've written off the Cardinals as being a contender after last year. Kyler gets hurt all the time and Kyler's not hurt right now. And what I mean by that is he doesn't miss like games. He just, by the time for a weird thing, like, hey, little guys, it doesn't matter. They don't get hurt. Kyler is the opposite. Kyler, every year of his NFL career cannot make it through a season where he's feeling good by the time we get past Thanksgiving. But I'm just like, if the Cardinals are still a good team making the playoffs last year, they need to win a game at home against the Rams.
I think my game of the week would be Bengals Jets. I know it sounds like miserable, but I think maybe because they're wearing the white helmets today for practice. Maybe they're wearing them.
Oh, okay.
But also,
putting up the white flag.
The Jets beat the Browns last week, and I don't know if I believe that. I guess, like, still that it actually happened.
I still think Cleveland doesn't believe that happened.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of like, and the Bengals are 0-2 off the Super Bowl, and, like, is that is that what their problem is?
Man, we got some traveling Tolos from the 940. I'm also going to Tampa Green Bay. And then from the 254, flying out to New York City Sunday morning.
New York City!
Monday Night Football. Let's go! We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones live right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey.
podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Jerry Jones in just 1 minute, but I have got an update for you, Mike. We talked about the ESPN top 100 NBA players, but we had yet to see the top five. Corey, would you like to know the top five?
I do.
And are you going to be mad if Luka's not one?
He's not going to be one.
Nope.
Oh, we got him. Right now, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. It is the owner and general manager of your Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, great, guys. Good to be on with you. Kevin, Corey, Mike, good to be on with you, buddy. Matt.
Well, we love talking with you every single morning. I'm kind of curious because I like to get your perspective on the broader NFL and sports issues as well. Is the Phoenix Suns owner is essentially being forced to sell his team. Obviously, you've seen this with Jerry Richardson and the Panthers. I just was curious, like, what are your thoughts on franchise owners being told by the league at one point or another that they have to sell their team?
Well, I obviously wouldn't go to those specific team owner situations or relationships or how they've evolved or where they ended up, but I wouldn't do that. But I know this. It's a privilege to get to be a part of a league like the NFL, or get to be a part of sports. The way things have evolved over the last 20 or 30 years, there are parts of it that no one could have ever anticipated, relative to social issues, relative to the responsibility that is involved when you have that much interest and that much attention. And it's unquestionably, it has certain great attributes to it. And so on the other hand, it has created areas of behavior, expectation, or expectation about your views, misplaced as it may be relative to the individuals involved, it's still there. And so I respect that, and I respect that you need to do the right thing in the right places, whether it's workplace, whether it's society. So I get it. I've certainly appreciate just every day getting up and getting to be a part of sports in America, and certainly with the Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry, going into the Bengals game last week, there was a lot of stress, urgency. I mean, even our interview, there was a lot of tense moments, I believe. But you get a win, and I'm kind of curious, do you lighten up a little bit after a win, or do you kind of continue to impress upon these guys that they have this hill to climb and you can't take your foot off the pedal?
Well, I thought the question was going, do I lighten up in my mirror or in my own mind? And the facts are I do. That was very disappointing. I felt very responsible for the fact that we'd let our fans down. No one expected that the first game. any and all of the ways that you could create responsibility. I have, whether it's accurate or not. And so that was a downer. Come back, though, and have the team respond, have the coaches respond, have the coach, head coach respond, to come back and then have, under very trying circumstances, have our young quarterback step out there and play the game he played, defense step up, every person played better. And to get a win against a good team was it's like the sun coming up. It was just a new day for me. Now, reality is that you can't rest on those laurels, not with the level of competition that we've got coming every week. And they've had their ups and downs usually when we play them, and so you got to get ready for that. So you've got to be disciplined, but that's what we've all live with in our everyday lives, and you just have to do it at the team level as well. We've got to get out of business. We've got to go to work, and that's not going to help us at all next week except to look at the technical ways we can improve.
How surprised are you that the Giants are 2-0?
Well, I look at how they got to 2-0, and it's not they've played well enough to get there. And I think that they're a much better team than they were last year. The fact they're 2-0 will embolden them to be better. And the real truth is that in the NFL, all teams have good players. And they just aren't hitting on all cylinders many times. But I can see how they won those first two ball games, and know that we've we've got a street fight in New York to get up there and come out of there with a win.
Now, you know, most of the time you say anything, it makes news, and I think we all understand why. Is yesterday talking about, you know, how you would love if Cooper Rush played so great that there could be like a quarterback controversy. Do you talk to Dak like before or after situations like that, or does he ask questions to you about like statements like that?
Not necessarily. If I see him, I will, and I'm sure the same with him. But not necessarily at all. And just to be specific, we don't have anybody that would like, really deep down, like to see Cooper Rush play to that level more than Dak, because that enhances it for all of us, because we know we're going to need every ounce of every person on this team's best play. And if you start going up there and saying, boy, this the opposing team as well as us, when they start looking and having more credibility about the way Cooper Rush is playing, about what we are at quarterback when we don't have Dak. Now, I don't believe there's anybody in the world that doesn't understand how much I appreciate Dak Prescott, his skills, and to have him for the future, and the future being right now, really. So, but the point is that if players play at a level to where you've got people debating how are you using them with their skills, or as to who ought to be out there and who are not, when they're playing at that level, that's positive.
Did you feel that same way? I'm just kind of curious. I know we're going way back. You feel that same way back in the day about Romo when he was watching Dak's progress along the way back in 16?
Well, of course I did. I was in awe that after Romo got hurt, we were all in the tank. And then Dak steps out there at a preseason game in Los Angeles in the Coliseum. And, boy, he throws that ball down there on a back shoulder and Dez gets it, or whoever caught it, and our whole team was out on that field, 15 yards out on the field. Michael Irvin, I said, did you see that play at Prescott? And Michael said, I don't know about it, but what I'm looking at is that team's 15 yards out on the field, everybody rooting for him. They're behind him so much. So that is really a wonderful thing to see. And so if it had been a game or two games, and Romo had been back out there, it might have been a different story. Because Romo still had it. Make no mistake about it. He had it, and he had it in a way that could win it all. And look what happened. Dak got his opportunity. He took it and ran with it to all of our benefit. He's one of the top handful of quarterbacks there are. And so all of that is what happened sometime. And that was the context that we were talking about that, and everybody around there knew it.
And, you know, like, it would be awesome if the table was set for Dak to walk in, but you really would ultimately want Dak to come back in, not miss a beat, as long as everything's going along with winning, right?
Absolutely, especially with the difference. Let's get the difference in the Romo thing. I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about how Dak got here with Romo as the quarterback. And again, one of my biggest shortcomings ever, one of them, of many, is to have had Romo and not won a Super Bowl. But the point is that we're not talking about that much time here. Dak is already out there going through the motions. I'm hopeful that he'll be there. That's another thing that people have gotten out of context here about predicting that he can get back or not get back. And all of that's conversation. All of that is what is the interest in what we're doing, the team. All of that's positive. But the difference specifically is that Dak here has just a matter of, if you will, now a week or two, as opposed to an extended period of time when Romo and Dak were in this same situation.
So, Jerry, it's interesting because I love you've said this multiple times about Tony Romo, and you put it on yourself saying, I just didn't make the right decisions to give him the best opportunity to win the Super Bowl. What specifically were those decisions that we're not sitting here 5 to 7 years from now with Dak Prescott saying, hey, I didn't do enough for Dak?
What about those decisions as it would might relate to Dak? I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
So you say, hey, I put it on me. The reason Romo's not a Super Bowl champion is I did not do a good enough job as a general manager. I failed him. What were those failures so we don't see those same failures 5 to 7 years from now saying you repeat that same sentence, but you just change Romo's name for Dak's name?
Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. And we've really, with Dak, we've really emphasized the offensive line. We've had one of the best offensive line. He's played behind one of the best offensive line there is in football the last several years. I like what we've had for him at running back. I like what we've had for him at receiver. And so the supporting cast, probably a little less his first 3 years on defense, but you can't have it all. You cannot do it all. You've got to give up someplace. But now then we've got a defense that should do a great job of balancing the attack or balancing the game, field position and those areas. So, you know, it's a whole concept. It's a special teams weapon that can give you some field position at the right time, Turpin time, that type of thing. Those are supporting things that really say, well, Jerry, that's just makeup of team. No, it's supporting your quarterback, or it's asking your quarterback to play above shortcomings. And that's what I'm trying not to do. And that switches around.
Now, when you talk about the potential supporting cast around Dak on both sides of the ball, I am kind of curious. Did you look at last night's game or maybe even the week before and you look at what Amari Cooper did and you think, maybe that was not the way to go?
Well, Amari Cooper would – the issue with Amari Cooper was how much we were paying him and what we could do with that money completely. And Amari Cooper is a good – I mean, a real good player, top player. And should be able to be on any team there is in the NFL. But do you want to allocate that much money to it, or do you have that much allocation, or would you rather have a better offensive line? Had you rather have a better pass rush? Had you rather? You can't have it all, man. You can't have it all. And I'll never forget the very first meeting I had with a media person after I bought the Cowboys. They flew back to the home that where I was living in Arkansas after I bought the team. And I was on a jet plane. And a five-year-old Bronco picked me up at the plane, muddy. And the guy gets off and said, "This makes no sense. A muddy five-year-old Bronco and you're flying in a jet. What's wrong with that picture?" I said, "It's perfect sense. You drive a five-year-old Bronco to get a jet. You can't have it all."
You still have that Bronco, Jerry?
It may be down at one of these hunting clubs someplace. We don't get rid of too many of those ones that can still putter around. Plus, got memories in it. Now, that one had a lot of memories. I had a lot of fun in that Bronco on the prairies of Arkansas.
Jerry, you're headed up to New York, and it seems like a 50-50 game when you go to New York, 50% Cowboy fans in the stands. I was wondering, from 1989, I know there's been Cowboy fans around the country ever since you bought the team, but what city has changed the most into more of a Cowboy stadium than it was in 1989, 1990?
Boy, I don't know that we've gained on it at all in the stadium as far as having more support. Philadelphia's emboldened, and they've always been hostile. That's not a bad thing, by the way. I frankly don't think there's a stadium that that I could think about that has diminished in their enthusiasm to beat our butt. And so that's good. The cities, I said this yesterday, the cities are one of the great things about the Cowboys, to get to go play in those great cities, play them there every year, Philadelphia, Washington, New York. That's big time, and that feels so good. To me, that's pro football. I love college. I love the college town. I love the campuses, love all of that. But pro football to me is downtown and city, and it's Gallagher's Bar there in New York. It's that type atmosphere. And so just the aura of playing cities, playing in cities, going in there and having the kind of, if you will, trappings that go around pro football, fire me up.
Jerry, do you have any thoughts on Jalen Smith signing with the Giants the week you guys are about to play them?
Well, that's the way you do it. Hmm. If you can and you have a spot, and you can bring somebody in that can give you some information that could be helpful, give you some knowledge about a scheme or a player, that's the way you do it.
You concerned about what Jalen knows about this defense?
Huh. That's cricket.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead.
And I was, how eager are you to see Jason Peters and Michael Gallup take the field?
Very. Very. Both. And Michael has been looking great out there at practices. There's no question that he's can be a big asset to us. So was missed and needed. Peters is a Hall of Fame player that needs to get in shape. That would be the case when you've been playing as long as he's been playing. Mm-hmm. But boy, does he offer us the potential to have some real position flex between two, possibly three positions on that offensive line. But he's such a pro. He's really, I'm so proud of him, because I remember when he came out and he has just done nothing but grow in his life with the NFL, and what a career. So we're going to, if things go like I'd like to think they'll go, he'll make a big contribution to us this year.
Jerry, last question for you. Football is so much more popular than baseball nowadays, and has been for a while. The one thing that baseball has going for him that football doesn't seem to is numbers. Aaron Judge is about to hit home run number 62 to break Roger Maris's Yankee record, American League record. Albert Pujols could hit home run number 700, the fourth person in MLB history. How come football hasn't been able to, at some point, more capture the numbers when guys have record-breaking situations?
Well, thank you for bringing it up. I don't know if it's deliberate or not, but yesterday I was taping for Emmitt Smith's great 20-year celebration of becoming the number one yard gainer in the history of running backs in the NFL. Now, there are some numbers, and I dare say there's a lot of sacrifice went into getting those numbers by not just Emmitt, but the guys that were clearing the way around him. But candidly, I do think we have numbers. I think maybe we should emphasize more of them. The stats, the passing stats, our first game, the lack of being able to make first downs, first, second, and 3 yard efforts that we didn't make. So I do think football is a game of numbers. I think that's why it has such a future relative to how it's presented, relative to gaming. It is a numbers deal. I had a coach that was actually a management major, Frank Brawls of Arkansas. And any time I ever talked football with him during my life, it was all about numbers. It was 2-on-1, 3-on-2. Everything, defense or offense, was outnumbered them. And so, literally, I'm taking your question literally, we could do and can do to think that baseball may have us outnumbered. We need to do a better job there because our game is a game of numbers as well. Stats are important. Of course, I'm a baseball guy, and I love to play baseball. Football's work. Baseball, I love to play. And I'll never forget the first time I went to New York. I touched that old stadium. I was pretty old. I was almost 30. And I put my hand on that Yankee Stadium, went right there and said, Yogi, Mickey, Mantle, I know you're in there. It's appropriate because Maris was breaking his record. I think it was Mantle's record he broke. But I put that hand on that stadium and I said, boy, here I am. I'm touching you after all. Yankee Stadium. Man. So those are the kinds of things to me that differentiate sports.
I love that, Jerry. I want to ask you, I know I said last question, but follow up with this. And I know where you're at, where it is with the Cowboys, but you've made so much money. Have you ever thought about, I know there's a few owners that own a football team and a baseball team. Have you ever thought of the Jones family also being owners of an MLB team?
I have not. And I've just always been so focused and committed on the football, and I just wanted to just totally indulge, totally involved, just completely disappear in everything about the Cowboys and football. We got involved in the arena team because it was my understanding the arena team, arena might be involved with NFL. I thought it might come, and so I didn't want somebody else here in this area to have NFL on by being involved in an arena team. So I got there. Other than that, I've never been tempted to be anything but the water boy for the Cowboys.
Appreciate the time, stories, and information. As always, good sir, we'll catch up with you again on Friday.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. A couple of things. One of the things he said, and he said it again, and this Steven has said this, he goes, we're talking about one or two more weeks on deck. If you thought, like, I don't know, they didn't really believe that or they're bluffing or whatever, once again, they said one or two more weeks on deck. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys expert, Mickey Spagnola, next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.